Isn't it so good to know that God is love? And so good to know that he demonstrated his love for us. He didn't just say that he loved us. He showed that he loved us. And he not only did that 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, but God is showing us his love, his unfailing love, every single day. And I pray that all of us will find ourselves bathing, if you will, in the never-ending flow of God's grace, mercy, and love towards each and every one of us. My God. My name is Pastor Chris, and I am the blessed and humble pastor of Strong Tower Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And when I got to Pastor Jewel's house this morning, which is where we are, I was just overcome with so much joy, so much peace, so much love. As I sat and I watched the people that you can't see right now who are off camera working behind the scenes to make sure that we're rendering first and foremost to God an offering, an aroma that is pleasing to him, but also that edifies the body of Christ. And I just was overcome with emotion. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this today, but I'm so thankful to be a part of the body of Christ locally, but also the body of Christ globally. God is good like that. And he's operating in houses of worship throughout this city and throughout this area as churches have had to become flexible and adjust ourselves that we might again minister first and foremost to him and then to you. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Now, I know some of us are familiar with the tiny desk, but that's not what's happening today. This is the mighty couch. That's what's happening today, man. The might and the power and the love of God is coming forth from this couch today. Praise the Lord. And we have another song after I share the word, and then we'll go out into the world to be the hands and feet, and if necessary, the mouthpiece of Jesus. Psalm 13, the Bible reads, beginning in verse 1, I'm coming from the New King James Version, and the Bible reads, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take my counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Verse 5. "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." I want to focus on verse 5 and get our title for this morning's teaching, where David writes, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." So today, with your prayers and with the help of the Holy Spirit, let's talk on the subject of saved by a conjunction. Saved by a conjunction. Let me pray for us. Father, we're so grateful that you are jealous for us. We're so thankful that you pursued us when we could not and would not pursue you. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us in by your love and by your grace. Thank you that as Jesus tells the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep, you went searching for what was lost, and you rejoiced when you found those things that are symbolic of who we are. Thank you, Lord, that there's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you'd rather die than live without us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying so that we could have not only eternal life with you, but abundant life right here and now through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that there are people hurting. There are people who are still wondering when their power will come on. There are people who are still wondering when they're going to get a warm meal. There are people still wondering when NES is going to come into their neighborhood. There are people who are watching around the country and even around the world who are dealing with various issues and problems and challenges. We know what's happening in our nation even now, as we've been exposed to various things in the last 24 hours that call us not only to pray for our leaders, but to ask for justice to also occur in this nation. Thank you, Lord, for how you feel about children, but also how you feel about each and every one of us. Now, Lord, touch me that I may encourage your people through your word. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 13 is a psalm that resonates with anyone who has ever had questions for God. Psalm 13 is a psalm that lets us know it's okay to ask questions of God. Psalm 13 resonates with anyone who has been going through and you have done your best to live for God, and yet you find yourself suffering all kinds of crazy, unexpected persecution. David writes this psalm, and he's asking God questions. He writes this song, no doubt, running from Saul. Much of his life is spent running from Saul, even though he was anointed as a teenager to be the next king of Israel. It took time for that to come into fruition and out of the realm of prophecy from Samuel. But God was using those years of running from Saul to prepare him for the office of being the king of Israel, that calling that came as a teenager but manifested as a 30-year-old man. And so he's out there wondering, what have I done to deserve all of this? And as we go into the text, we see that four times David is going to ask God, how long? How long? How long do I have to go through this? So brothers and sisters, I'm going to share just three thoughts with you today in the midst of this message. And the first thought is David's feelings. Then we're going to jump into David's foes, his enemies. And then we're going to conclude with David's faith and how everything turned by faith through a conjunction that he spoke. So this first point today is David's feelings. As I mentioned, he is a man who is passionate, and he asks God questions, and he asks him the same question four times. How long? How long? How long? How long? Yeah. Have you ever asked that of God? How long? Well, guess what? Jesus asked this of God in Matthew chapter 17. Matter of fact, he asked it really of the disciples when they could not cast out a demon while he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the inner circle. He came back down the hill, and his disciples, whom he had empowered, could not cast out a demon. And the Lord said, how long must I bear with this generation? Bring him here to me. And when Jesus gives that cry of how long, we don't know specifically, was he saying, how long will we see evil have its way in the community? How long will we see the demonic influence that is filling people, possessing people, oppressing people? How long, oh God, will we see this kind of exploitation amongst the people that were made in the image of God? Or was Jesus saying, how long will my disciples, whom I gave power to, not operate in the power that I gave them? How long? I don't know for sure, but I'm just so thankful that I have a Savior who understands what we go through, that he can say, how long? And then if we were to go over to the book of Revelation chapter 6, the Bible lets us know, as it's telling us about the latter days, that there will be people who will lose their heads, literally, for putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. They become martyrs because they are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says that as they are in heaven, in their disembodied state, the Bible says they're asking the Lord, how long will it be till you repay? Because vengeance is yours. How long will you give people there on earth, those who killed us, patience before you act on our behalf? So we see this question being asked in the Old Testament. It's asked in the New Testament. It's asked by the Lord, how long? And it's also asked by one of my heroes in the faith, Dr. Martin Luther King. As today starts the beginning of Black History Month, I think of the words that Dr. King spoke as the people concluded the march from Selma to Montgomery, and they had a gathering right there in front of the courthouse. And he spoke, and one of the greatest parts of that speech was when he kept asking, how long? How long must we continue to deal with segregation and racism and militarism and poverty? How long? But then he answered his own question and he said, not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long and it bends towards justice. Not long, not long, not long. And so I want to encourage those who are struggling today with whatever you are, how long, God, must I be going through this situation that I'm in? For some of us, it's been days. For some, it's been weeks. It's been months, maybe even years. Lord, how long? You're not by yourself. And David had some questions. And we see in verse 1 of Psalm 13, he said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David felt like the Lord had forgotten him, because he's out there running for his life, hiding in strongholds and in forests, hiding. And he's asking God, how long? Have you forgotten me? And I wonder if there's anyone here today who feels like God has forgotten them. Once again, I go to Jesus, the one whom we remember today through communion, his body and his blood. The Bible lets us know that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so David feels forgotten by God. And guess what? Jesus felt the same way too on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt that in the moment. And the word forsake there means to turn one's back on. And God turned his back on his son while Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, paying for our sin, becoming a curse on the tree. The Bible says that God turned his back on his son. He forsook his son in that moment so that you and I would never have to be forsaken throughout all eternity. He turned from his son that he might turn to me and you, because his son took the penalty of our sin on his body. He became a curse on the tree so that you and I could be blessed. And when God turned his back on his son, he turned his face to you and me, never to turn his back on us. That's the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus felt forsaken. He felt like God had forgotten him. And many of us feel that many times. Lord, have you forgotten me? And then David goes on and he says, how long will you hide your face from me? He felt like God had hid his face from him. Now, the key word here is felt like, because he felt like God had forgotten him. But was that true? No. God says, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. I'll never forget you. And when Jesus looks at his nail-scarred hands in glory, that's proof that he will never forget us, my God. And David here then says, why have you hid your face from me? He felt like God had hid his face from him. And when the face of God is mentioned in scripture, it speaks of God's favor. His face brings favor to us. And we see this in Numbers chapter 6, where Moses gives us this Levitical prayer about God causing his face to shine upon us. That's his favor. And David feels like God's favor has been taken away from him. But was that true? Not at all. So just because we feel it doesn't mean that it's true. And then he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? He's struggling every day. You feel that sometimes? I know I do. But I got to remind myself that although I feel it, it's not always true. And that is that I have sorrow every day. I have sorrow in parts of the day. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. So yes, sorrow is real. But it doesn't have to overcome and dictate the whole day, our whole lives. Yeah. And then David says, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? So David felt like Saul was exalted over him. And he's asking God these questions. And again, he feels like the enemy is winning. He feels like Saul is winning. But again, feels like. But is it true? No. If anything, David is exalted over Saul, his enemy. Pastor, why do you say that? Well, I'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7, after David had slain Goliath in the valley of Elah, when Saul should have went, but David went. The teenage boy went, not the over 6 foot king went. He didn't go because he was afraid. And the Bible says when David went into that valley, he went in as a boy, but when he came out as a man. And then the Bible says that the people started singing and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. So all of a sudden you saw God promote David, for promotion comes from the Lord. So rather than Saul having the authority over David, David had the authority over Saul, and the people knew it and said he has slain his 10,000s, and that's what caused Saul to get jealous of David. Rather than seeing David as an ally, he saw him as an enemy. And so as he's saying, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? David, you are exalted over your enemy. And don't we feel like that when it comes to spiritual warfare? Here comes the devil again, working in my house, working in my church, working on my job, messing with my body. But we got to remember that the God of peace has crushed Satan underneath our feet. The God we roll with has given us victory as an overcomer because he has overcome. So we need to know who we are and whose we are in Christ. So David shows us that although our feelings are real, they're not always right. But again, we have a God who doesn't mind us asking the questions. Lord, how long? Because it doesn't feel good right now. How long, God? But then secondly, y'all, David's foes. David made three requests of the Lord. Let's look at it in verse 3. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes. So he's asking God to consider him. It literally means, Lord, look on me. Lord, see me. See me struggling. Lord, see what I'm going through. Consider me. And then he says, Lord, I'm asking you to hear me. Some versions will even say, answer me. But when you put them together, when you're praying to God, when I'm praying to God, when you know Jesus Christ and you're praying according to the will of God, which is found in the word of God, 1 John says he hears you and he does give you what you're asking. It may not be how you want, when you want, or who you want, but he'll come through and answer your prayers. So David is saying, Lord, would you consider me? Lord, would you hear me? Would you answer my prayer? And I pray that as you're going through, that you will take the time to pray and say, God, consider me. Don't just try to rely on your own resources. Don't just try to lean on your own understanding. No, take time, humble yourself, and pray when you're going through and say, God, would you consider me? God, would you hear me? And then he says, Lord, enlighten my eyes. In other words, give my eyes the ability to see what's going on right now. Lord, give me your wisdom in the midst of this trial, this test. Enlighten my eyes, not just to see the natural, but to see the spiritual realm as well. Because I'm not ignorant of the enemy's devices. So Lord, give me eyes to see what's going on in my situation. David had three requests. Lord, consider me, hear me, and enlighten my eyes. Because he knew if you do those three things, these three things are going to happen. He says, lest I sleep the sleep of death. In other words, Lord, when you help me and answer my prayer, I'm not going to die early. I'm not going to sleep the sleep of death. This thing is not going to defeat me. This thing is not going to overcome me. This thing is not going to take me out. Lord, if you hear my prayer, consider me, enlighten my eyes. Lord, I'm not going to die early. I'm not going to sleep the sleep of death. And then he says, my enemies, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. But Lord, when you consider me and answer my prayer and light my eyes, no, my enemy will not prevail against me. You will show me that I've already prevailed against my enemy. And then he says, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Because the devil and some of those devilish friends of ours and family members, they want to see us shaken up and moved and tossed all around. But God, I'm asking you to consider me, to hear me and enlighten me so that they won't take any kind of pleasure in seeing me moved all around. No, I'm stable. I'm strong. I'm rooted in Jesus Christ. So he's asking God, Lord, would you help me with my foes? David shows us that although our foes are real, they do not rule.
That's right.
They do not rule. But then thirdly and finally, David's faith. Oh man, verse 5. It starts off with, but. Can I stop right there? Can I pause right there? But is a conjunction. And I learned about conjunctions growing up in Baltimore watching cartoons. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? I learned about them right there. They hook up words and phrases and clauses. So David is telling you about his feelings. He's telling you about his foes. But then he says, but. But is a conjunction that changes everything. But is a conjunction that is a turning point in this moment for him. Yeah, it's going this way. But the conjunction but is a life saver for David. It is a change of mindset. It is a movement of his perspective from this to that. But be sure, Strong Tower, be sure, friends, to add a but conjunction to your faith. Add a but conjunction to your situation. It's bad, but God is good.
Yes,
I'm struggling, but God is able. You see, some of us stay on the negative side. I'm struggling. It's bad. But can you put a but in there? You see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No temptation has overtaken us except what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, make a means of escape that you might be able to stand up under it. You see, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Do you have a but conjunction in your faith? Do you have a but conjunction in your mouth? Do you have a but conjunction in your experience with God? But it doesn't end there. I got to go back to verse 5. I can stay right there at the but I got to keep moving. He says, but I have trusted in your mercy. Y'all, I've trusted. I placed my faith in your mercy. The Hebrew word mercy here is hesed. And it means loving kindness, God's unfailing love. Hesed is the equivalent of agape in the New Testament. Hesed is what we see in the Old Testament when God wants to let his people know that he loves them without conditions, that he loves them faithfully. And so David says, with all that I'm going through, I have resolved to trust in your hesed, in your mercy, that you're not going to give me what my sins, my bad decisions have required. Hesed, I've trusted in your mercy. Let me tell you what I'm learning. As a man who walked with Jesus since 1984, I'm still learning this, and this is so important. I have to trust in God's mercy more than I trust in myself. I have to trust in God's unfailing love, his hesed, his agape, more than my raggedy performance. I have to trust in God's mercy more than my works that are tainted. I have to trust in God more than I trust in man. I have to trust in God's mercy more than I trust in what's going on Pennsylvania Avenue. David said, but I have trusted in your mercy. And then he says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Isn't it good when you can start off questioning and you end up singing and worshiping? God doesn't want us staying in the realm of the feelings that we go through. The feelings are real, but they're not always right. Feelings are like taking a two-year-old out on a drive. You have to put the two-year-old in the car seat. And when you're in the car driving with the two-year-old in the car seat, the two-year-old is there, and you don't know what's going to happen in that back seat with that two-year-old. You're going to go through all kinds of emotions and feelings. That child is going to cry. That child is going to ask for things. That child is going to laugh. That child is going to sleep. And that is a picture of our emotions. Yeah. Sometimes we're crying, and sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we're up. Sometimes we're down. Sometimes we're hungry. And what we're tempted to do a lot of times with our feelings is deny them and just put them in the trunk of the car. But you would not put no baby in no trunk. You bet not. Or we'll say, man, my feelings are so strong, I'm just going to leave them. Matter of fact, I'm going to give my feelings the keys, and my feelings are going to drive the car today. You wouldn't give no two-year-old the keys, so why would you give your feelings the keys today? The feelings are real. Acknowledge them. Deal with them. But don't allow your feelings to rule your situation. I am a feeler. That's why I was crying as I was walking up them stairs today. I'm a feeling. I'm not ashamed to say that. Jesus wept and so do I. But man, sometimes my feelings, they forecast things to me that are not real and right and true. I enjoy after God has met me where I am to take me where he wants me to be. Chris, yeah, you're feeling it, but don't live there. Trust me. I've got so much. Now worship me in the midst of this. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. Yeah. Because sometimes that's all you got, with tears in your eyes saying, God, I love you because I know you love me. And when David is saying all of this, his situation around him has not changed. The enemy's still coming after him, but something inside of him changed. That's the power, brothers and sisters. Oh, man. I woke up this morning and I heard about a boxer who literally had his toupee come off his head. I'm just talking about God's mercy right now. Now I had to write his name down. Jarrell Miller got his toupee knocked off in the second round of the fight versus Kingsley Ibe. I don't know if you saw the highlights yet, but when I saw the highlight, I said, ooh, I cringed. Ooh. He hit that man with an uppercut, and his toupee went back off his head. And the toupee, it even had a part on the side. I mean, he went to his mama's house, is what he said, and washed his hair with bleach instead of shampoo. And his hair fell out, went to his barber before the fight and said, put a man piece on my head. And he did it. But brother wasn't thinking that he was going to get his skull cracked that night, his cap peeled that night. But let me tell you how that's like mercy, though, because I can identify with this brother, Gerald Miller. You see, I got my toupee knocked off in round two, but mercy still allowed me to win the fight.
Yeah.
See, y'all don't know that. We just looked at the highlights and you just saw my man being embarrassed, but you didn't stick around long enough to see that he won that fight. I got my cap peeled back in round two, but mercy still allowed me to raise my hands when the fight was over as a victor.
Yeah.
I was in an international laughing stock when that thing went out, but mercy still allowed me to be labeled as a conqueror.
Yes, yes.
That's what mercy does. It has enough power for our messes. Mercy can turn situations around that God gets all the glory. David says, oh my goodness. He says, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Can you sing to him? Can you trust him in spite of what we see going on around us and even in us? Yeah. We saw that David's feelings were real. His foes were real. And I'm so glad his faith was real. And you won't know your faith is real until it's tested. You see, David was saved by a conjunction. He was going through, but then he said, but. And that changed his perspective, his focus. He looked more upward and heavenward than outward and inward. And that's what a good conjunction can do. He was saved by a conjunction, and I close by saying I was saved by a conjunction as well. I was lost in sin. But Jesus found a brother. I was saved by a conjunction. I was born on the wrong road, but Jesus put me on the right road, saved by a conjunction. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus made his way to Calvary. I was saved by a conjunction. I had a dark past, but God gave me a bright future, saved by a conjunction. I was by nature a child of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses, made me alive with Christ. It is by grace I've been saved. I'm saved by a conjunction today. Do you know the Lord? And if you do know him, I want to let you know he's still saving. He's still saving us through situations, from situations. But today, as we've been saying throughout this experience, because we know that there are going to be people watching who may have never come to our church, but you're watching now and you may not know the Lord.
Yeah.
My lovely wife extended an invitation during communion, and I want to extend an invitation now for you to trust Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to be your Lord and to be your Savior. If you've never done that, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can be forgiven of all of your sin. You don't have to carry that guilt and that shame. Jesus already carried it on Calvary's cross for you. He wants you to be free and to be free indeed. Trust him today. Give him a try today. You've tried everything else. Try Jesus. And I'm telling you, he will come in, set up shop, and change your life one day at a time, overwhelming you and blessing you with his love that endures forever. And if you are a Christ follower, today is the day to say, Lord, I trust you afresh that you've got this. Yeah, I'm asking questions, but I've got a conjunction in my faith, and I'm going to trust you no matter what. And if you can't afford a but, get you a yet. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yeah.
Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the gospel, for the good news that you love us, that you made a way for us, that you did not leave us lost and incapable of having a relationship with you, but you redeemed us. You bought us out of the slave market of sin, not with gold and silver which perish, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Today we are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus, who died and rose to save us from our sin and to give us a brand new life. And if there's anyone who's watching, you've never trusted Jesus, you can trust him just as the thief on the cross did when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Would you say, Lord, Remember me. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you by faith that you are who you said you were. Change me, oh God. Brothers and sisters, if you prayed that prayer saying, Jesus, save me, guess what? You are saved. Would you let us know? Would you just put a little something in the bars down there? Just let us know so we can rejoice with you and the angels in heaven. And then for the rest of us who know the Lord, Father, strengthen our faith. May we recognize that what we're going through is real, but it doesn't have to rule. Always give us a but conjunction, because you are good and strong and mighty and present like that. Oh God, would you provide for those who need to know that you are Jehovah Jireh? Would you heal for those who need to know that you are Jehovah Rapha? Lord God, would you fight battles for those who need to know that you are Jehovah Nissi? Do it, God. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.